760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning and happy Wednesday. We are so glad you are here with us this morning.
Glad to be here.
Yay.
Yippee.
Oh, that was very enthusiastic, Josh.
Yippee.
Yippee, yippee-yi-yay. But the best way to start the day and the show is with prayer. So, Josh, would you lead us in prayer,
Absolutely.
Please?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus, give us the grace to wait in this season of waiting for whatever blessings you have in store. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Jesus, name we pray, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dave, you had an interesting topic we were kind of talking about off mic.
Well, I was thinking about this on my drive in this morning about how, you know, people pray for things. I mean, it's great to pray for things and all that, but I was thinking, you know, like a farmer, if we're in a drought, he may pray for rain.
Yeah.
But really, God knows if you need that rain or not.
Sure.
You better than you do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just a reminder, you know, pray for God's will or to understand God's will, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking about that.
I think so.
That.
Absolutely. I mean, well, I've heard God answers all prayer. The answer is yes, wait, or I have something better.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Advent is a season of holy waiting, right? Mm-hmm. The church is basically saying, hey, God's timing better than yours, right?
Yeah.
We want it prime delivery, but it's like right. Pump the brakes, you know? And I think it's easy for me to think like waiting can feel like punishment. But in scripture, it's preparation.
Mm-hmm.
It's preparatory, you know? And so, in the incarnation itself, that example that God's answering prayer, you know, better than expected.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I think about this too. It's like every day, I mean, I have to wait. Like every day I pray God brings back the McRib, you know?
Oh, here we go again.
Actually, it is back, isn't it?
Is it back?
I think I saw the sign on McDonald's.
So I don't have to wait anymore.
Oh, my gosh. So,
this is Christmas Day for you.
No, I'm laughing because my oldest, she was like, I want to get the Grinch meal. They got some Grinch meal at McDonald's.
Do they?
Yes, and it comes with like Grinch socks. I'm like, oh my goodness.
That's
gracious.
Actually a pretty cool toy.
I wouldn't mind having Grinch socks.
Well, there you go. I think it was yesterday the day before. She's like, can we go to McDonald's? I'm like, not today.
McDonald's is a proud underwriter of the Quest.
No, but you know, as you're talking about Advent and waiting, again, there's so much commercialized things focusing on Christmas, right? Not the true meaning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was during the homily at Mass on Sunday, just hearing, you know, Father Larry just talk about it's a new year in the church and just waiting and focusing on Christ and just slowing down, not, you know, rushing into things. And yeah, I've thought about it in a different way.
And it's easy to get at this time of year to get wrapped up in all that because everybody is doing, you know, there's parties, there's all sorts of things going on.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. Just take it easy. Chill.
Well, and truly, and it's funny. So we have a Christmas tree. I like getting a real Christmas tree. We always had those growing up. So I just like that tradition to keep going. And normally it's decorated, right? But this year, right now, it just has lights on it. And I'm like, this is kind of cool. Just keeping the lights on for a few weeks.
Oh, that's cool.
And as we get closer, decorating it, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
My mom and dad, I mean, they grew up through the Depression.
Yeah.
And they I don't know if this had anything to do with the Depression or not, but they didn't used to like Christmas Eve is when they would get their Christmas tree.
Well, I think we got ours closer. Yeah. Well, and that's really what it's supposed to be.
And then they would keep it through the Christmas season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. We had a Hanukkah bush. You know, I grew up Jewish, so.
Hanukkah bush. Oh, Josh. You know,
we celebrated both growing up, actually. There's this comedian who has this really funny bit. He talked about he grew up Jewish and he just wanted to celebrate Christmas because of, like, kids just got hooked up on Christmas. And Hanukkah, you get some cool stuff, but it's Christmas has a little more of a pizzazz in the present department, you know? And he, you know, his parents were like, well, what do you want for Hanukkah? He'd be like, Christmas.
That's so funny. Oh, Josh, on that note.
Just ahead on The Morning Quest.
Amelia Ramirez Anderson from Mary Our Queen will be talking about St. Nicholas Market taking place on Saturday, December 13th from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Francis Xavier. I did it.
Woohoo!
Father Adam Blatt unpacks today's gospel reading. But next, Dr. Michael Ocurso, Director of Music and Liturgy, and Stephen Colfer, Associate Director of Music Administration at Christ the King, help us discover the timeless music of Advent and Christmas.
Finding joy in the journey. This is The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on your Atlanta Catholic Radio. AM 1160, The Quest.
We are with Dr. Michael Ocurso, Director of Music and Liturgy at Christ the King Cathedral, and Stephen Colker, Associate Director of Music Administration at Christ the King, helping us discover the timeless music of Advent and Christmas. Thanks for joining us again.
Good to be back. Yep. Good morning.
Great to be with you.
It's awesome to be here. By the way, last week, what an amazing...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, what an amazing journey you took us on, especially through O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. I was thinking, man, like, it's one thing to hit, like, to write a song and have it hit the charts for a week. This dude's been, like, these guys have been on the top of the charts for...
over 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
That's winning right there. Well, what's on the agenda today, my friend?
So we're actually going to talk today about one that's even older than O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Wow.
So O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. One thing we didn't really get into was that we didn't get into the music of it. We talked about the text, which goes back to the 9th century. The music came out, you know, has changed over the years. And the one that we're going to talk about today is a little bit similar. So today we're going to talk about Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence.
This is a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping there's some more surprise tidbits in here today like we got last week.
Well, so this one, you know, I frequently think of it as more of a communion hymn. But, you know, it kind of has its foot in more than one world. And let's face it, all of our theology is pretty much, you know, it's all connected. It's all, you know, we wouldn't have had... You can't have Easter without Christmas.
Correct.
And you can't have Christmas without Easter, right? So, so let's talk about Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. So, this one, like I said, it's even older. It's from the 5th century.
Oh, wow.
And it comes from the Orthodox tradition, from the Liturgy of St. James. And so in the Orthodox tradition, they would use this in a more communion situation.
Leading up to.
Right.
Yeah.
But let's look at what the words say. Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand, ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to earth descending, our full homage to demand. And then the second verse goes right into King of Kings, yet born of Mary, right? So we've got pretty strong theology here, you know, of Christ coming. And one of the things that I think deserves to be said about almost all Advent hymns, carols, antiphons, is that a lot of them actually take on a double meaning.
Uh-huh.
So we're not only talking about Christ coming in the form of a baby, we're talking about second coming, and in this case we're also talking about him coming to us physically in communion. Right.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So so very deep theology in these hymns. Music that we sing in our liturgies, I once had a priest say to me, you know, I hear that music is the icing on the cake when it comes to the liturgy, but it's not. It's really like the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's in there, and yeah. and it's important.
I think that one of the reasons I love this series and what we're doing is, especially in Advent and the Christmas season, mm-hmm. we're so familiar with these hymns. We're so yes. familiar with these carols, and you can almost just kind of go into nostalgic, like, autopilot.
Oh, yes.
Where you're just there, and you're singing, and you love yes. it, and you know the words without really understanding, like Mike said, and this is, I mean, I'm guilty of this with Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence, is only in looking, you know, preparing for this segment,
yeah.
did I understand this communion mm-hmm. connection, this mm-hmm. Eucharist connection. For me, I've always been drawn to this song because it does kind of pull you out from the pews of, if you're in that kind of autopilot, which, especially if you're there with kids, you're just trying to
sure.
get through it. You're just,
yeah.
But it's so weighty. Mm-hmm. It's so mm-hmm. this call for silence, the power of God, the homage that he is rightfully due.
Yes.
I find it almost impossible to sing this and not
reflect and understand
exactly.
truly now what I am singing.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Another thing to think about as we talk through Advent and Christmas music, and even if you think about the scriptures that are associated with this season, they're full of great characters.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an invitation to put yourself in the footsteps of one of the characters.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to also look at the last verse. At his feet, the six-winged seraph, cherubim with sleepless eye, veil their faces to the presence, as with ceaseless voice they cry, wow. Alleluia, Alleluia, mm-hmm. Alleluia, Lord Most High.
Mm. I mean, no one's writing any Christian music like that nowadays. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is so poignant and theologically rich.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly. It is. There's just nothing like it.
Yeah.
And yet, what I'm trying to say, too, is that it's so relatable.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And so it's just a good challenge for us as we
yes.
go through the season is to put ourselves there. We can relate to
yeah.
either the shepherds or the Magi, you know, I don't
yes.
know.
But
yes.
also to relate, like you were saying earlier, into the larger story
yeah.
being told mm. here is to like that. I mean, that if I'm correct, that's from Revelation, those, you know, those descriptions mm-hmm. of the seraphim.
Yeah.
And so now we're beyond that manger, and
yeah.
we're into this, you know, these great visions that John had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You've kind of gotten to the, you know, I don't say end of the story,
yeah.
but in a way, you know, you're past his
yeah.
birth. I mean, he's done, you know, he's accomplished his mission, his earthly mission, right? And so, to your point, you have a little bit of, you have the anticipatory experience through, you know, the fact that this is being sung in the Advent season, but you also have these four epic foreshadowings
right.
as well, etched in that musical narrative. I mean, it's so rich.
Right. It talks about the light of light, which we'll talk about in a couple of weeks with O Come, All You Faithful.
Ah,
nice. You know, which that draws on the Gospel of John's, you know, nativity narrative. And it also draws on our creed.
Mm.
That's what I was going to say. This one feels a little more of Flesh Keep Silence seems very Catholic
yeah.
to
yeah.
me. It just feels like, you know, the recognition of Mary, but also that he's, you know, he's the Eucharistic tones that it has to it. It,
yeah.
it really feels just lockstep with
oh,
the
yeah.
creed.
Yeah, and it strikes me, it kind of has like, when you break down these lines piece by piece, it has kind of like this Visio Divina element to it, right? Where there's this place it can take you to, not just through hearing it, but visualizing what is on the text, as you both have poetically shared. Is there a way that when people, like you, Stephen, said, it's this one kind of gets your attention, but a lot of times it's easy to go through the motions. You know, as we wrap up, is there a way you'd suggest people kind of prayerfully enter into these musical experiences so they can get the most out of them?
I think for me,
yeah.
It is, you know, starting with a prayer that
yeah.
you can that you can be present and that you
yeah,
can
yeah.
receive
yeah.
what is being offered in that moment, and really thinking about the care of the text and the music together. And thinking there's such a thoughtfulness to this. And if you can just begin to tap into the thoughtfulness that went into the score married to the text, then I think you're on the right track. I mean, I think for Mike and for musicians, I think they have a different opportunity and a different struggle to try to be present because they're the ones creating or leading.
Well said. Well, guys, this has been fantastic. Man, y'all are on fire, and I'm looking forward to the following two segments. We've been with Dr. Michael Lacurso, Director of Music and Liturgy at Christ the King Cathedral, and Stephen Kolker, Associate Director of Music Administration, discovering the timeless music of Advent and Christmas.
Awesome. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
There we go. Now I'm live. On the horizon, we have Amelia Ramirez Anderson from Mary Our Queen talking about the St. Nicholas Market taking place Saturday, December 13th from 9:30 to 4 p.m. Hey, remember our scripture verse, everybody. Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. Our buddy Chuck Persner gets us acquainted with St. Francis Xavier, but plot twist next, it's actually Allison and I unpacking the gospel reading, so buckle up.
Hi, it's Teresa Tomeo. Coming up at 9 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest, I'm inviting you to join me for Catholic Connection. But right now, let's turn to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic radio station.
It is 8:19, and if you'd like to comment on something you've heard today on the show, you can or make a suggestion for us, send us an email to themorningquest@thequestatlanta.com.
This is The Morning Quest.
And we are back. Buckle up, everybody.
Praise God. We love the Word of God.
We do love the Word of God. Okay. Well, why don't we open this thing up in a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Jesus. I pray you illuminate your word to us so that we can draw near to you, each other, and your plan for our lives. This is from the Gospel of Matthew, 15:29-37. At that time, Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, went up on the mountain, and sat down there. Great crowds came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the deformed, the mute, and many others. They placed them at his feet, and he cured them. The crowds were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the deformed made whole, the lame walking, the blind able to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Jesus summoned his disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd, for they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, for fear that they may collapse on the way." The disciples said to him, "Where could we ever get enough bread in this deserted place to satisfy such a crowd?" Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" "Seven," they replied, "and a few fish." He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, gave thanks, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. They picked up the fragments left over, 7 baskets full. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No, you know what? Let's set the scene. You know, on the mountainside, he walks by the Sea of Galilee, goes up the mountain, and he sits down. Crowds are rushing him. I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Carrying the lame, the blind, the deformed, the mute, and many others. And then place them at the feet of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he cures them all.
Yeah.
And so the amazement hits, you know, the mute are speaking, the deformed are whole, the lame are walking, the blind are seeing, you know, they're praising the God of Israel.
Yeah.
Pure joy and wonder. You know, it's a picture of us, right? Bringing our brokenness to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all can put ourselves in that same picture.
Yeah.
And then Jesus's heart stirs for the crowd. You know, after 3 days with him, they're exhausted and hungry. And Jesus calls on his disciples. My heart is moved with pity for the crowd. They have nothing to eat, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. So that pity, that visceral compassion straight from his core for mm-hmm. the people. And I think about it, Josh, all the time. How often is the Lord looking at us with pity, like, oh my gosh, how I desire them to just trust me more,
yeah.
right? And to know that I am going to provide for them.
Yeah.
It's absolutely.
Yeah. Isn't that a better default place to be as well? I think sometimes it's easy to think, well, God, I guess you just want me to roll up my sleeves and go through this tough test. But to think, no, the God of the universe, who is so intentional as to, you know, just the fine-tuning it takes to have everything work in balance, to have you know, everything orbit the way it should, to have gravity,
yes,
and yet in all his intricacies, he looked at his creation and said, you were the missing piece,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And to think that God that cares that much about you to bring you into that world that could have divine compassion for you in your greatest need.
Oh, absolutely. No, totally, yeah. Totally. But then, you know, the disciples, us, the practical question, they respond, where could we get enough bread in this deserted place for such a crowd?
Mm-hmm.
They count their resources, very minimal,
yeah.
7 loaves and, you know, a few small fish. It's honest doubt. And we've all felt that way. Not enough moment when we need something and it seems overwhelming. How easy is it for us if we're desiring a job, right? Oh, Lord, let me have this job, but it doesn't come about,
sure.
Right? He doesn't provide the way we expect him to provide.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Again, what happens? Jesus tells the crowd to sit in the ground, takes the 7 loaves and the fish, gives thanks, breaks them, and gives the disciples to distribute. Everyone eats and is satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
With 7 baskets of fragments left over, abundance from so little. And truly, and it's easy to say, sometimes it's not always to live out. When we truly trust him and allow him to work in our lives and not be in fear and doubt all the time, he really can work some amazing miracles in our life.
Yeah. And even if we are in fear and doubt and still turning to him, he can
absolutely
work amazing miracles. The main thing is for us is showing up. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Showing up to Mass, showing up to confession, showing up to adoration. You know, this scene also highlights Jesus as the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, mm-hmm. where the Messiah restores, and that's Isaiah 35, 5 through 6, where the Messiah restores sight to the blind and hearing the deaf and giving speech to the mute. And the crowd's glorification of Israel's God underscores how Jesus's works reveal divine mercy. Right? Turning amazement into worship. And here's an insight from the Catechism. The drama of hunger in the world calls Christians who pray sincerely to exercise responsibility toward their brethren. This petition of the Lord's Prayer cannot be isolated from the parables of the poor man's, Lazarus, and the Last Judgment. But think about the compassion he has for those hungry souls.
No, absolutely. So what could be a good takeaway?
What is it?
Where do you see hunger today in your life? Maybe it's a neighbor's food insecurity, a friend's emotional emptiness. You know, like Jesus, give thanks for the 7 loaves, your time, your skills, your kindness, and share that with others.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, absolutely share it. So what are we going to do today? How are we going to have eyes to see those in need? And how are we going to share our resources with them to show them the presence of Christ in their lives?
Absolutely. And maybe that's the takeaway as well. It's like, where is your greatest need? Well, perhaps try to sow that seed of blessing into another person and watch God show up and provide for you.
Amen.
This is from the Good News Network. The Global Catholic Charity Network Caritas has transformed one of the late Pope Francis's former Pope Mobiles into a mobile pediatric clinic intended for the children of Gaza.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Yeah, the vehicle, originally a pickup converted for his visit to Bethlehem, was repurposed with Francis's approval in the final years of his life. And the project was led by Caritas Jerusalem in partnership with Caritas Sweden, and the vehicle is now equipped to treat up to 200, you heard me right, 200 children a day. So Stockholm Cardinal, the Cardinal from Stockholm noted that the mobile clinic is meant to be a signal that children of Gaza have not been forgotten. Pope Francis had frequently contacted the small Christian community in Gaza during the past 2 years, calling for an end to the war and release of hostages. So it remains unclear whether Israeli authorities will allow the clinic to enter Gaza, but praise God they're taking these steps to serve those who need it the most.
That's awesome.
Later on The Morning Quest.
Amelia Ramirez Anderson from Mary Our Queen will be talking about the St. Nicholas Market taking place on Saturday, December 13th from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. And next, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Francis Xavier.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
This is The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
Welcome back, Chuck.
Thank you, Allison. It's good to be back. Good morning, Josh.
Great morning with you, Chucky.
That's always a good day. We're in Advent now.
Mm-hmm.
Love Advent. Great time of year, especially these first 2 weeks of Advent. They've always been some of my favorite time on the liturgical calendar because we still got some time before we have to worry about the crush of the secular issues we deal with at Christmas.
And, yes.
You know, these first 2 weeks we celebrate some of my favorite saints personally, and we've got one of them today, in fact. And, you know, I know you like a quote, Allison. I came across this one from the Baptist preacher, actually, the great Charles Spurgeon, who once said that every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter.
Oh.
Yeah, so today, on December 3rd, Catholic Church celebrates a great missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And this is St. Francis Xavier, born in the year 1506, made it to 1552. In fact, he was such a great missionary that he was recognized as the patron saint of Roman Catholic missionaries.
Wow.
Yeah, he's quite
very nice.
Yeah. And he was born into a noble Spanish family. Interestingly enough, his path would eventually intersect with the man who would go on to become Saint Ignatius of Loyola.
Oh.
And while they were studying. Yeah, they were studying together at the University of Paris. Francis was almost 10 years younger than Ignatius, who had already experienced a major transformation and conversion on the heels of an injury he suffered in battle. Ignatius was a soldier prior to pursuing his priestly vocation, whereas Francis Xavier grew up achieving much of his success as an athlete. Interestingly enough, his track and field was his sport, and the high jump in particular was his specialty.
Interesting.
I did not know that event went back so far.
And that's so neat just to hear an athlete, right? So all those athletes out there, great saint to call in their intercession.
Yeah, him, Saint Sebastian.
Yes.
We've got a number of athletic saints.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think, pun intended, he reached new heights with his answer yes to the Lord's call.
And in the classroom, too. He was also known as an outstanding student while he was in the seminary.
Nice. Yeah.
So these men were ordained together, and they would become lifetime friends. And they would co-found the Society of Jesus, which we perhaps better know as the Jesuits. St. Francis Xavier proclaimed the salvific message of Jesus from Portugal to Japan.
Wow.
So he was out there, like I said, tireless.
Japan?
From Portugal to Japan. He baptized over 30,000 people along the way.
Wow.
I want to know if he learned to speak Japanese.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, I would think he figured out some discernible means of communication, but it's incredible to think some of these, especially like the Georgia, Florida martyrs, right? They show up on the coast and they just pop in and they're literally, I don't want to say infiltrating, but befriending and becoming one with these tribes and learning their native tongue. And you got to be really sharp to learn that without any Duolingo.
Yeah.
And just trusting. You know, you arrive there and you figure that God will take care of the rest. Somehow, some way it'll get done, whether you have to learn it, whether you'll be equipped with translators, but it'll get done.
Yes.
As long as you follow the call and the vocation. Great quote by him as well. He says, "I want to be where there are out and out pagans." So he didn't look for the easy assignments.
Look at
he would
that.
Go where we were starting from square one and where he would, you know, meet some resistance in the way. And it's just a nod to his evangelical zeal and the fact that, you know, he was just out there in a world that, you know, undoubtedly, you know, we're materially wealthy, especially today, more so than maybe we've ever been. But there's a certain spiritual impoverishment that really bothered him and got to his heart. And that's what he sought to fix and to clear up.
Mm. Incredible. Well, like you said, he met Ignatius, Saint Ignatius, at the University of Paris. And Ignatius challenged his worldly ambition with these words: "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul?" From Mark 8:36.
Yeah, so, those are haunting words. They're poignant. You know, we have to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And amazing that he was one of the first seven members of the Jesuits or Society of Jesus. When he went to India, he began preaching, catechizing, and baptizing. And he also focused on revitalizing the faith of the Portuguese colonists and evangelizing the native population, particularly a group called the Paravas. I hope I'm saying that right. A marginalized fishing community. And, okay, here's the answer to my initial question. He learned Tamil to communicate with the locals effectively.
Wow.
Pretty sharp guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Shades of a couple of the more recent day North American martyrs, who we talked about back in October.
Yeah.
St. Isaac Jogues, a personal favorite of mine. They were no doubt inspired by this. You know, the Jesuits were those guys first into the fire. Didn't matter what or how difficult the task was. It was about getting out in there and taking on the task at hand.
Well, another couple quotes. This is simple and pretty powerful. Talking about his apostolic zeal. Give me souls. You know, asking the Lord to give me souls is beautiful. And then a missionary heart he had. A quote from him. I ask God, our Lord, to help us to know and experience his holy will. And once we have experienced it, give great strength and much grace to fulfill it with charity in this life. So asking for God's holy will and give me charity to fulfill everything you're calling me to do.
It's important. I heard Josh talking about that in a segment a few days ago. It's very important to deliver the message with charity and kindness.
That's key.
That's lacking in some circles today.
Oh, yes.
And it's very important.
It is. It totally is.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, he baptized, like you said, over 30,000 people during his missionary journeys, inspired countless to join the missionary field through his letter and example. And he dreamed of going to China, but he couldn't gain access to the mainland and died of fever, unfortunately, on December 3rd, 1552, in Shengchun Island off the Chinese coast after tirelessly attempting to get into the country. I mean, this guy wouldn't give up.
Yeah.
Tenacious for the Lord.
Yeah, he really was. He died a relatively young man as well.
Yeah.
But we've heard that story from a couple of the saints we've talked about just in recent days. You know, they had a missionary desire to go one place, but the Lord took them someplace else. Yeah. And, you know, they follow the will of the Lord.
Well, that's it.
Trademark, I mean, of every saint.
That was his desire, your holy will.
Yeah.
St. Francis Xavier, he is the patron saint of Catholic missions.
That's right.
Yep, and he was declared a saint by Pope Gregory the 15th in 1622, alongside St. Ignatius of Loyola, St. Teresa of Avila, and St. Philip Neri. Now, that's a dream team right there.
That really is. And in fact, when we were talking about St. Teresa of Avila on her feast day, we brought that up. That is an incredible class.
Yeah.
Of saints. And I think it's particularly cool that he went in with Ignatius of Loyola, his friend.
So a few quotes of his that are particularly poignant. Give me the children until they are seven, and anyone may have them afterwards. So pretty confident in his ability to catechize and share God's good news.
Wow.
He is. And it speaks to the importance, though, of getting to our children early. What they learn early is what they take with them.
I heard someone in a Bible study say, you better relish that time you have with your kids because you only have their ear till about they're 13.
Is that true, Alex?
Until they're 13 years old. And then the world starts creeping in.
I feel like the world's already trying to creep in before then.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you're talking about this, you know, with that quote from him, all the catechists out there, right? What a great patron saint to be calling on their intercession.
Yeah.
Since we're working with the kids.
Now, this one may be a challenging quote. Many, many people hereabouts are not becoming Christian for one reason only. There is nobody to make them Christians.
Oh. Yeah, that's my favorite of his quotes. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. And he, of course, sought to remedy that all by himself.
Yep. And he was he's a patron saint of missions, missionaries. Perhaps we can ask him for the courage and wisdom to share God's good news with those we're not as familiar with.
Amen.
St. Francis Xavier.
Pray for us.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Well, we got some skills for you for our under 30 listeners. We got a lot of under 30 listeners, don't we?
We do.
Yeah. This is the Gen Z Morning Quest.
That's right.
None of us are under 30. So these different areas, where can we find this wonderful article?
This is from BuzzFeed. It's everyday skills everyone should know before they're under 30. Okay? So,
and this is
number
crazy.
One.
So we're all over 30, so we should know every one of
and
these.
And I'm like horrified. I'm not going to get overwhelmed. We're just going to take it step by step and learn one thing. Everyone should know how to change a flat tire.
Don't know how to do it.
Really? I don't either.
No.
I don't
it's
either.
It's easy. You just call AAA.
I can't do that. Yeah.
No, it's funny. We had a flat tire on our van a few weeks ago, and I had my son out there. I'm like, okay, you're gonna. But they learned in Cub Scouts too how to do it, and then. But this is like a refresher. So yeah, I went to a high school that had auto mechanics.
When I was in high school, that class was available. I did not take it, but it was available.
I did. Yeah, I learned a lot.
So we need to learn how to change a tire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is another one: the Heimlich maneuver.
Maybe I could wing that.
I think I could. I've never been in a situation that I've needed
it. When my oldest was young, I gave her a piece of cantaloupe, and this piece was too big, and she was choking. I don't think I did a Heimlich maneuver. I think I was like flipped her upside down, and I'm like banging, patting her back really hard, and it came out. Praise God! But this is important. You never know what could happen. Yeah. Never know what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Personal finance.
What about personal finance?
Understanding it so you can function. Yeah, no, that's really...
That's something I think that should be taught in school.
Yeah.
I mean, the parents need to teach that as well, but I think that there's principles that... Because a lot of times the parents don't know.
I know, or even writing a check, you know?
I think everybody.
What's a check?
I wrote one today, and I was like, I have not written a check in a long time.
Yeah.
Checks are like cursive, man. They're out of style.
Yes, cursive too, seriously.
I think for personal finance, to help someone realize the value of a dollar and maybe incentivize, you know, to try to save money better. When they're single, they should be forced to ask out their bank teller because they can see your balance.
Oh, Josh. Good one, good one. This is one that I need to learn how to do. And at the age of 50, I don't know how to do it. Learning how to say no, and more importantly, learning how to accept no as an answer.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to help. I like doing things and... Mm-hmm. I overbook myself.
You do.
And then
you want to do it all. I mean,
and you have
great intentions. You
I get excited, and then I'm like, and then Dave brings me to reality. Allison,
you can't do that.
Slow down.
And this is a great time to announce the morning show is now going to 7 days a week with Allison on Saturdays and Sundays herself.
Oh my gosh!
You don't mind?
Say yes, Allison. Oh.
No, I can't do that.
Be a trooper.
There you go. Are you proud of me? I was able to say it today. Cooking small, simple meals. Okay, I mastered that. I can definitely cook some meals.
Yeah.
And I have been teaching my kids how to cook meals, and they make noodles, and they can make scrambled eggs and different things.
So. And my boys got their cooking merit badge in Scouts, so they know how to do that.
Let's see a couple other. Playing a musical instrument. I did not do that. We talked about the recorder. Yeah. I don't want to bring that up because the last time the recorder came up, Josh...
It's got the musical range of a landline telephone.
Right? Yeah. And it's funny. So my youngest, she's playing the clarinet. So she's more musically inclined out of all the kids. So she's teaching us.
Good.
Okay. One more until we move on. How to socialize. Think about that. Everybody's on their phones and texting. And when I'm with my children, I'm like, guys, make eye contact with people, right? Mm-hmm. Look at people, smile at people. And they think, my youngest is like, that's weird. I'm like, no, you're acknowledging people.
Yeah.
Learn how to communicate with people.
And I think the more digital we get, the more we're interacting with screens and everything, we lose that human contact.
And if they want something at a store, I'm like, call the store and see if they have it.
Right.
No, mom, call the store. They call the store and they ask, you know, and I'm like, they have to know how to do these things. So those are just a few. But if you want to learn more, you can go to BuzzFeed.com to get the whole list. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
Closing us out strong, and shall I say exceptionally strong, we have Amelia Ramirez Anderson from Mary Our Queen talking about St. Nicholas Market, taking place Saturday, December 13th from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m.
The Morning Quest continues on AM 1160 The Quest.
It's all good. We are so delighted to have Amelia here with us, and she is going to be talking to us about this wonderful experience that we were just reminiscing about last year when you came on to talk about this great event, St. Nicholas Market, taking place at Mary Our Queen. And this year it's December 13th. So welcome back, Amelia.
Oh, I'm so glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
We're so glad you're here. And for those who haven't heard the details yet, can you start by giving us an overview of the St. Nicholas photo experience and market? What's happening and when?
So December 13th, 9:30 to 4, and it's our slogan this year is Keep Christ in Christmas Markets.
Nice.
So that's what kind of makes this different.
Yes.
We're just trying to help to pivot us back to the reason of what we're doing. Santa is great, but, you know, St. Nicholas is the original.
Yes.
And so everything in the market is just geared towards helping us to realize, you know, the birth of Jesus. And, you know, obviously St. Nicholas is bigger than one day.
Oh, so yes.
He has to make an appearance. And so from the minute that you walk into the market, you're going to be given some blessed salts to help prepare your Christmas meals and desserts. We'll have a raffle for our pro-life ministry. And also part of it, all the businesses and vendors, it's just been a really interesting meeting everybody. One of our sponsors is Divine Mercy Farm, and they're actually like a local, they raise cattle, lamb, goat, pig, I'm forgetting something, and then they process it all organic, all the things. They're going to donate a whole pig for this raffle. We're splitting it, so you can get a half a pig. It's not going to be physically there, that would be awkward, but you get to call them and tell them how you want it processed, which I was like, I don't know, like food, you know, it's going to be great. And then we've got some great vendors. We have a lot of them returning from last year, and a couple of the new ones. We have some fundraisers, the Sister Servants of Eternal Word from Alabama.
They're coming. I'm so excited.
When they came, I was like, really? You know, and they're going to be great. Just such joy. We also have Baritas Catholic Illustrations is one of the, I think I was even telling you about it last year. They're graphic and really great.
Do they do t-shirts and stuff?
They do t-shirts, stickers, everything. Just lovely, lovely guy. And we're so excited to have him. And the Relic Project, which I think you guys will be talking to next week. So excited. They're coming all the way from Washington. And they're bringing first class and second class relics. So the saints are literally coming to the market.
To the market.
And you can venerate. You can. We have someone selling medals. You can literally buy a medal
and touch the relic.
Class, so wonderful. And they're fundraising. They're doing, you know, all the things, Relic Map and all this. You guys will talk about it next week. And then also we have, you know, of course, St. Nicholas. You get to do a photo shoot with him. And he's not going to be asking you, what do you want for Christmas? What's your wish list from the North Pole? He's going to be asking you, are you so pumped? You know, Jesus is coming. Are you getting ready for it? What have you been doing to help other people? And then just pivoting and helping parents to, you know, what are we spending our time on, right?
Yes.
And as soon as they get to leave the stage, they get to go to our coloring section. We actually have Christmas cards donated by Pieta Papri, and I'm so sorry for pronouncing all of those words wrong. But they are donating those so the kids and adults, if you want to, can color, decorate cards for the patients at Our Lady of Perpetual Help
Home.
So they literally get to do, like, fulfill. So it's a 1-2 punch, which is very, you know, appropriate for St. Nicholas, right? He punches. You get to actually go and get ready for what we're supposed to be preparing for the slow season, but intentional, right?
So
much stuff. So really excited. We have beeswax candles. We're going to have, you know, a really great time. There will be coffee also.
What an adventure. This is amazing. This is amazing.
And hearing about the cards.
Yeah.
Going to Our Lady of Perpetual Home. I'm like, Amelia, that is amazing.
I'm so excited about it. I'm actually, like, I was pretty lukewarm until 3 years ago, conversion story later. But so I feel like I'm learning everything new as a child, like as an adult. And so I didn't even realize how long they had been around. We're also going to try to do a mailbox to, again, kind of combat the Santa making a wish list letter to the North Pole.
Yeah.
So the kids can do these cards and, like, put it into the mailbox.
Oh.
And just, again, slowly planting seeds.
Yes. Yeah.
And especially for adults, too, because I think we all want to slow down and we want to say no and, you know, be ready. But what are we saying no and yes to?
Yeah.
Like you guys were mentioning even before, you know, the Nutcracker, Rudolph, Santa, or secular Santa, excuse me, is all great stories. But we have a very deep and rich history that is factual. You know,
we
are ready for, you know, I was pregnant actually last Christmas, and I was saying, I'm not worried about Christmas. I'm not the one giving birth on Christmas Day. Mary's, you know, we're getting ready for this most joyous thing.
Yes, our salvation.
Exactly. The presents they don't matter. The kids will adapt. You know, it's about being together. And especially at our event, we really want it to feel also like Catholic block party. You know, we are all church family, all the parishes, we are all one family. I think sometimes we forget and we're, you know, playing teams a little bit. And so I think this is a great opportunity moving forward, you know, every year just to come together and celebrate how we can help others.
Yeah. And I love that because the event is at Mary Our Queen, but it is open for everybody.
Yes. Yeah, I think most of our vendors aren't, again, from here. We have actually a fine artist coming from Tennessee.
Wow.
And she's donating some fine sacred art, too, that is for the raffle.
Wow.
I mean, it's the raffle's going to be its own thing. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, we're just so excited. And you guys are going to be there, too.
We are. So, we're going to have a Quest table. So yeah. I'm so excited about this.
Yeah.
I mean, I really am. Because we weren't able to get there last year. But no, this year, pumped to be present and part
it's
of this.
It's going to be action-packed. This is incredible. And you have these awesome activities for children. And there's a photo portion. Is that correct?
Right. So the set where they... And we have the best St. Nicholas in town. I mean, it's structurally... A couple years ago, we had an actual icon, and it's in the parish. We have a relic as well, St. Nicholas.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're going to try and make sure that the parish is open, because we're also a Jubilee
pilgrimage. People can still come and go for pilgrimage.
Right. So when they were designing the icon, they had, I guess, the skull of St. Nicholas. Like, they were trying to be very, thorough. And when they brought in the sketch, they're like, this looks like Carl. And so our St. We can very proudly say our St. Nicholas is very accurate.
Yeah.
he's lovely. But yes, we have an actual photo set to come again, kind of pivoting from the, we spend, and I've done it, the photo shoots to Santa Claus, and it's the tradition. But why isn't there an option for St. Nicholas? And we all have lovely St. Nicholases at our parish, but of making it like a photo session. So you can, there's still some slots left to reserve a photo session. And it's actually the best deal in town. The photographer will just keep shooting and you get the digital images.
Oh.
So it's not like you get two.
Wow.
You get as much as your child will allow.
Yeah.
We will. And
nice.
The parents get on in there, because this is a great opportunity to do a family photo.
Yes.
We'll have a lot of fun. And yes, and then there's some treats baked by lovely parishioners. We'll have hot chocolate and coffee and... you'll have a minute. We're inside, so you don't have to freeze.
Okay, nice. So it's going to be inside the parish hall?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
That's also important, I think, is...
Wow, is there a lot of space in there? It sounds like you have a ton of vendors.
Yeah, well, I think we'll have somewhere around 20, a little less than 20, and we do have room where we could crowd it. But again, the point of it is to have intentional vendors and fundraisers, and so that we have time. You don't have to be rushed to walk through. There's plenty of space for you to look, and a lot of people just kept circling and talking to people.
Yeah.
The vendors and the fundraisers were even talking to each other.
It's
not a rush. Yeah. And if you have something going on, again, 9:30 to 4, stop by.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. So, Amelia, what is your favorite part of the market? And I know that is such a trick question because you exude this. I mean, I feel like you're the head honcho of this market and you do such an amazing job promoting it. What is your favorite part of it?
I think it's honestly and selfishly meeting everybody.
Yeah.
Because there's so many, again, all the elements are pivoting to us. But I have... Just seeing everybody come together, it's like doing a family reunion.
Oh,
it was just, you feel the release. And I remember I was the calmest of my life that day. Everyone was like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm fine.
You feel great. You're in your realm.
Great.
Yeah.
And it really is because everyone just has so much joy. You're getting the Holy Spirit when you go in there.
That's amazing.
No, I totally, totally love that. So where can people go to get more information about this marvelous event taking place on the 13th, this September, December 13th?
So maryourqueen.com/St. Nicholas, spelled S-T. And that'll have all the information there. There's links to reserve. And we're just so excited to see you guys.
We are so excited, too. And again, we have that on our events calendar as well. So if you go to our website or the app, go to the events calendar, and there is information, too, about it there.
Yes, and this is such an amazing event. Remind us one more time, where are we going to find out more about the St. Nicholas Mart? I'm looking at you.
Oh, my bad. And I'm looking at the clock to our events calendar. That's where people can go.
Wonderful.
The Quest Atlanta Quest calendar on our website, thequestatlanta.com, or on our app.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, but we are delighted. Thank you so much, Amelia, for coming back and blessing us.
This is such an incredible experience. Yes, be sure to check that out. And we hope you found some joy in the journey with us. Let's close this thing out the holy way. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.